Welcome. Welcome to the Sunday worship service of New Hope Church, March 29th, 2020. Let's pray. Almighty and most merciful Father God, whose power and whose love eternally work together for the protection of your children, give me grace this day to put my trust in you. Oh, Father, I pray for faith to believe that you rule the world in truth and righteousness. For faith, I believe that if I seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and you will provide for all my lesser needs. For faith, to take no anxious thought for the tomorrow, but to believe in the continuance of your past mercies, to trust, to see your purpose of love unfolding itself in the happening of this time, to trust you to be calm and brave in the face of such dangers as may meet me in doing of my duty, particularly for the people there who have to constantly in exposure to close proximity with the people. And we lift up those professions and people there who work in the front line. For faith to believe in the power of your love to melt my hard heart and swallow up my sin and iniquities. For faith to put my own trust in love rather than in force when other men hardens their hearts against me. For faith to believe in the ultimate victory of your Holy Spirit over disease and this coronavirus and the subsequent and sufferings and death and all the powers of darknesses. And to trust you by profiting by such sufferings as you call upon me to endure for faith to leave in your hands the welfare of all my dear friends and family members and our church members. Oh God, give us a cheerful and a buoyant spirit and peace in doing your will throughout the day, throughout the week, for Christ's sake. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. David wrote 15 Psalms of Ascent that had been sung by pilgrims on their ways to Tabernacle in Jerusalem. Unbeknownst to me, and obviously to you too, each Sunday for past 4 weeks, Holy Spirit has led me to choose from the collection of Psalms of Ascent, 127, 124, 122, and today's Psalm is 120. It's the beginning of this series, and from 120, we see how our lives of trial awakens us to the reality of myself and my dire situation. And Psalm 121 directs our attention how we can find the answer in God and from God. First, Psalm 120 is a reality check. Let's read together Psalm 121:20. It reads, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with the glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." First point is fragility of my routine and norms. People keep repeating the expression, who would ever imagine, who ever thought that this would occur? We thought it's the other side of the story, the other side of the planet, but it's happening in real time and incrementally and every day. And America, the most powerful country in the world with all its military might and advanced technology and science and government, all these systems, it is happening. If a tiny new virus in such a short period of time can exert this much power and put the screeching halt to the entire planet and disrupting the daily routine of 7 billion people, then what we have taken for granted and believe them to be constant, whether business, work, school, government, and all kinds of activities, and including sports arena, even the church as we know of and familiar and to reckon to be norm, are not that permanent and norm after all. Because of a threat of unknown and from the virus, we all are urged to stay at home. Like the original Passover time of ancient Israel, the circumstance forces us to spend time together with the family, the first covenant unit of a relationship with God. And God has said with a promise, this covenant unit of family. Irony is that we have been ignoring and busying ourselves for a long time with the excuse, with the premise of providing money and means to match the various needs of a family. In my own opinion, just my own opinion, God knows us too well that we're not going to make the necessary time for the family and to each other to invest in us the most important commodity that God has given us is the time. And the fact that we are image of God, the characteristic, the component is the time that God has allowed us to eternity from the point of where we are created and existed on this planet. And even though we worry about the businesses and the money issues and the church issues and all kinds of worrisome issues, but the fact of the matter is, the truth is, as it comes down to what we've been able to together, is that God cherishes the two covenantal unit from Old Testament family and New Testament church so much and worries for the family and church so much. He set aside all our business concerns, all our money concerns, all our activity concerns set aside, and setting the priority, manifesting his focus that my family, my church are important. So important, he is willing to put the hold on everything. Not just family and church and the busy bodies and the collection of all kinds of activities. It's a genuine covenant bonding relationship. So in that regard, we need to reshape the family life and routine, and also church life and routine by three things. The really devoting to the Word of God, not just certain part of a discipleship program and the dedication to prayer and the spending time together in praise as a family, as a church. Not just certain, you know, worship time, and we require praise band and choir, a lot of contraption need to occur for us to praise. We are being stripped of everything else and to bare bone my voice and myself and God and together as a family. Your family is based on the Old Testament covenant, and its life must reflect Old Testament promise covenant of church in worship, fellowship, and discipleship. These three must take place in family life too. Same with the church and its familiar routines. When we will not be able to worship at the physical location for 4 weeks in a row, what we are left with is still the desperate need for the relationship, the connection, and the willingness for the intentional investment to genuine worship and fellowship and authentic discipleship. Even if we're not able to meet physically in location and person, we find, as I observed, creative ways to worship and forces our church members to genuinely engage in, not just mere spectator nor seat warmers. And church members come up with different venues to be connected that is more personal and communal and having an authentic fellowship together. And I even received virtual birthday party, a snapshot. And hey, people are having it together. We become proactive to practice discipleship, bring the personal accountability in Bible reading and ways to learn and share the Word of God. Second, ultimately this trial must prompt our attention to God and His promise and pushing us to step closer, to walk closer toward Him. That is the whole point of the 15 Psalms of Ascent. And the first thing that you and I need to remember from this Psalm 120, 121 is that we need to dissociate it. We need to set aside our usual knee-jerk response of emotions when we are being faced with the trials and sufferings and pains. From Psalm 120, David just realized how vulnerable his position is amongst the people and how fearsome his enemies are, which he did not realize until he was thrown into the pit of suffering. Our natural tendency is to drive us into two modes of thinking and ensuing actions. The modus operandi is first being obsessed with the self. Pendulum is swung between between self-pity and self-indulgence, self-arrogance. And second obsession is that knee-jerk response is that we are being consumed by the enemy that seem to be threatening, and that actually is threatening us. It's a threat. So we are being obsessed and consumed either by me or enemy. It takes up all my attention and energy. But David learned to take off his eyes from himself and his enemy. That is the backdrop of Psalm 121. I read, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade. On your right hand, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And David says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. David learned to take off his eyes from himself, again, his enemies. Yes, people make the habit of asking help for higher power and authority. They all have, we included, their versions of high mountains upon which they find the solace and draw the protection from it. In this regard, David is the same as with them, to lift up their eyes to the mountains, to the hills, actually. But difference comes. David did not look up to the highest mountain, nor grandeur mountains. David first probably looked up to the hills, but that they finally, the eyes, his eyes rested on is the hill of Zion, Jerusalem, upon which the tent of tabernacle is located, in which the Ark of Covenant is placed. David realized the power does not come from the mountains or size of mountains and grandeur nature of the mountains. The deciding factor is whether God is there or not, the presence of Jehovah God the Lord. And this tabernacle insinuated signifies the presence of God, the tabernacle God. That is the backdrop that David says, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand, because Ark of Covenant is overlaid with atonement cover, and both sides of atonement cover has two cherubim spreading their wings. God encounters his people above the atonement cover, under the cover of wings from the cherubim that reserve the empty space, and Bible calls it mercy seat. David is referring that protection at the top of the mountain, in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, and between this sacred space, the mercy seat, under the wings of cherubim, the shade. And David also says, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Within the tabernacle, no natural light can come in. It is like a dark room. The only light that shines, that allowed to shine in the tabernacle, within the tabernacle, is from the seven golden lamp, menorah, which you see. You see it during the holiday season at the window shell of Jewish homes. That is the only light. David refers the Christians who set their feet in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies. And that's the light from God, the Holy Spirit, through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, from the Word of God, and that holy place, that's the light that has the protection that guided the path of Christians. The song of ascent is the song reserved for the pilgrims who take their steps of ascent to the tabernacle. My brothers and sisters, this is a special time that God has cut out for you and your family and your church family too, to take a moment and respite the Sabbath, to take a step toward Hill of Zion, where the tabernacle is located. Please take a special effort as an individual and as a family unit. Very simple three actions we need to devote it. We need to set aside reading of the Bible and the dedicating the time to prayer and praise individually, personally, and as a family unit. Please let us make the most of this special time of a Sabbath, Passover, to practice song of ascent. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful message that you've been encouraging us for the whole month to take the steps towards you. And you have given us very specific tools, the Bible, prayer, and praise, because you love to talk to us through your word of God. And you love to hear from us, from our voice in prayer. And you love to listen to our praise as we make even the joyful noise. Is a pleasing living sacrifice that gives you utmost joy. Oh Lord, give us the willingness, the desire, and devote our time and for these actions that we can bring up not only ourselves, but also our church family and our covenant family a step closer to the tabernacle where the Holy of Holies so waiting for us. May the mercy of Father God, love of Jesus Christ, communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit upon the pilgrims as they take the steps of ascent, sing this song of a psalm, and getting closer to you. As they do so, please, would you please bless their family, bless their church, bless their business, bless those their neighbors, their country, village, church, people, family, be united by the sprinkle of the blood of Jesus Christ at each doorstep of the family and church family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.